All right, let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that we are who you say we are. So often our minds want to play tricks with us, and we believe lies that come from every different direction. But God, wow, thank you that we're chosen. Thank you that you're for us. Thank you that we are free because we're in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can be a child of God. I pray that for each person here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, amen. That's right. Good stuff. What a great morning. So fun to have all these families involved and all these young people involved and sending out the students. Just exciting morning. If you've been tracking with us here, we've been talking about this idea of the same power, the Christian and mental health, and we've been focusing, building off of this verse in Ephesians, this prayer of Paul's in Ephesians, where he prays that we might know him better, like in a very personal, in a very real, in a very intimate way, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ better, know the hope, and then he says three specific things, that we might know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and his great power towards those who believe, okay? And last week we talked about if we have such power, this incredible power, why is there so much suffering, especially in this area of mental health? And if you didn't know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we didn't necessarily plan that, but that worked out pretty well. But again, we mentioned mental health and mental illness and the struggles with that. It's same for the same reason that of other sicknesses. From the beginning of time, you know, sin impacted not only creation, impacted our bodies, not only our bodies, impacted our brain. And so there's that aspect, and it's a real problem. And we want to, as a church, how can we come alongside and support those who are struggling, support those and better understand ourselves, you know, so that we can see hope, and find meaning, even in this area of mental illness and mental and other hardships beyond that as well. I had a number of people mention to me about the power of seeing as we all stood last Sunday and then had people stand if they were connected to or knew someone that was struggling with. We went down a list of different things, and we started with anxiety or panic attacks, and that took most of you in the crowd down. So again, one of four people in our church, we see about 400, we're averaging 478 people a weekend, all right? And so one out of four, that's 120 people in our church body. If you take this percentage, one out of four, that's directly impacted by mental health or mental illness and that kind of thing. That's a lot of people as we're trying to come alongside. And I mean, just a lot. It just speaks to the reality of the challenge that's out there, I guess. And, you know, we want to have strong minds. And we want the Lord to give us that power. We want to, as a church, come alongside. In this book, Troubled Minds, by Amy Simpson, she speaks of an example where her mom was hospitalized. She felt a sense of shame, and the church's response a little bit. She says here, "I believe the church was as confused as we were, and the people in our church were responding the best way they knew how. They were responding in silence." Okay? But the silence wasn't healthy for us or for them. And when the church is silent to a person in crisis, it can sound remarkably like silence from God. Isn't that a powerful statement? So we don't want to be silent. We want to have the conversation. We want to try to interact on it and try to just be honest and open. I've shared some of my struggles. Others have shared theirs. And today we're going to try to add one more tool in the toolbox. You know, as we think about this topic of mental health and how we as a church and what it looks like for a Christian to walk in the midst of that. So, I'll start off with a little story. Who might you think this guy is up on the screen there? Yeah. All right. So, that is yours truly, going back in the day a little bit. I thought with all the families, the young children, you know, all that, and like, I'll break out an old picture of my own. But this idea, the one more tool in the toolbox, we're going to talk about this idea of the power of self-talk, all right? And what you think about yourself matters. And I'll share a little bit about my story, how I learned this. So you can see there, obviously, I'm on that's called a Rupp Roadster. That thing was the bomb. That thing was awesome. It's on our family farm there. And, you know, I was thinking about this. My mom, who's here today, she taught me how to ride that thing. She literally was on the back, and we went around the barn, and somehow she was no longer on the back. And I'm like, Mom, how do I turn? You know, I guess she figured I'd figure it out. So our mom's awesome. But so Rup Roach. So I had this dream that I wanted ever since I was young. I wanted to race dirt bikes and do that kind of thing. Well, I got to do it a little bit out of high school. This is two of my favorite picks, one with Husqvarna when I rode for them. The other picture up the top there, I love how it depicts the speed. All right, it was my best pro finish that day, 10th place finish. But, you know, all that to say, all I'm trying to get to here is in pro sports, this is where I first was introduced to this concept of the power of the mind, okay? So if you look at qualities it takes to be a pro athlete, you got your natural abilities, you got your equipment, you know, a certain level, personal desire. That's, you know, wasn't the most natural, maybe didn't have the best equipment, but you know, I tend to have a lot of desire about things, and I worked hard at physical endurance, and then this concept of mental training. Yes, it was another tool in the toolbox, another piece of the puzzle, you know, another key element in pro sports to try to take steps forward. And I used to do visualization, where you'd actually run the track in your mind and that kind of stuff. I had this statement that I was supposed to tell myself. One of the trainers had me telling myself, it says, I am happy, I'm healthy, I'm successful, I'm a winner. I was supposed to tell myself in the mirror. When I met my wife, she said, you sure are a winner. And so anyhow, you're like, why in the world am I telling you all this stuff? Well, again, the power of the mind, just trying to look at that a little bit. So I thought, I'll show you from science too. See, science speaks to this as well. All right, so here's a little video from science. A little imagination never hurts. All right, a little imagination. Did you hear? The one impacts the other. The one impacts the other. All right, the mental impacts the physical. So I found that true in my racing days. It's interesting that science talks about it. You're like, Dave, now you're going to get fired. All right, because you're supposed to talk about the Bible. Well, what's the point? See, I think that's exactly what Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians. As he comes to that, to the church, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus, but really he's speaking to the broader church. And he's talking about the power of self-talk, the power of what you think about yourself matters. And this is how he starts. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This section, verse 3 through 14, it's one long sentence in the Greek. The English makes it into six separate sentences. So if you like run-on sentences like I do, you have a friend with Paul. And but the main verb is this one where we have been blessed. All right, it's something that has happened in the past. It's happened in the past. It's completed, but it has continuing results that go right on through to the future. So where are these blessings? They're in the heavenly realm. They're not in the earthly realm. They're in the heavenly realm. They're in the spiritual realm. Okay, they're not in the material realm. They're eternal. They're not temporal. What are we blessed with? Every spiritual blessing. We have all that we need. All that's available. Actually, he says, how do you get them? It's only to those who are in Christ. You know, again, in these verses, 10 times he repeats, it's only to those who are in Christ, to those who are in him. But his point is, those in Christ are incredibly blessed, incredibly blessed. And he's talking about our position versus our experience, okay? He's talking about the difference between our position in Christ, what we have been given, and then the reality of our everyday experience, which obviously doesn't always pan out to that. But our position is absolutely secure. It never changes, okay? Absolutely secure. But our experience, hopefully our experience in Christ, is that we are growing more towards maturity. And that line of life, the red line of life there, it certainly does not look like that, right? It's like more like a heartbeat, all up and down and all over the place and all everywhere, especially once you have kids. All bets are off at that point. But, you know, the difference between our position and our experience. I was thinking about moms a little bit, too. You know, the difference between position and experience. Mom's the greatest job in the world from a position standpoint. You know, the most valuable, incredible. But from an experience standpoint, it's actually the hardest job in the world, right? I mean, incredibly difficult, challenging. I found that there was a study that I found said motherhood is the same as working 2.5 full-time jobs. We deeply appreciate you. We deeply appreciate, you know, all that you do. I found also this list of names that we use for mom. Names, some examples could be mom, mum, mummy, ma'am, mammy, mother, mother, mommy, mama, ma, madre, mama, and even ma. All these different names, demoting, showing how important that moms can be. But their position, such a high position, but such a challenge, too, in reality and experience. I think that's what Paul is talking about here. So he goes on to tell us 6 things that we have facts because of our position in Christ. He says, I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care how you feel about yourself. You are not an accident. No, you are chosen. You are special. You are unique. You are designed for purpose. You're chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless, to be set apart. I always think with this verse, I always think of, I don't know if you've ever had to stand in a line and get chosen to be on a team. And the tension of like, will they choose me? You know, it's just terrible. It's palpable. You can feel it. And then when you hear your name, it's like, wow, awesome. You know, I know where I'm going. Well, that's the same picture here. God chose you. He actually calls your name. He saw you even before this time. And he says, hey, you're mine. You're on my team. Not only are you chosen, you're adopted. He predestined us to adoption, to sonship through Jesus Christ. See, we, as a second blessing, one of these blessings, these spiritual blessings that we have, not only are we chosen, but we are adopted into God's family. We have all the rights and the privileges of his family line. See, it doesn't matter what our family looks like today, whether how much dysfunction, what social class we're part of, what financial class. No, it has nothing to do with that. We are a part of his. We have the full legal standing as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is so happy about it. It's in accordance with his pleasure. He's so happy to have you a part of his family. And you can be too. Thirdly here, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood. It's a powerful word. It's a powerful word where it's the idea of to purchase our freedom, all right, to buy us back. I don't know if you've ever felt enslaved to shame or to fear or to guilt, like your mind just totally playing games with you that way. Like, I am enslaved to what's going on in my head right now. I can't get past this. You know, and that can often lead us down roads of anxiety and depression, panic attacks, and everything else. Okay? He says, no, 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 no. You are fully forgiven, 100% forgiven of your past, of your present, of your future. You're entirely set free, absolutely set free. We were watching the movie Unbroken here lately, my wife and I, and Louis Zamperini, he, you know, incredible story. In World War II, he was shot down. He's in a raft for 47 days in captivity with the Japanese over there. And then the war ended. He got freed, which was amazing. He was still alive. He comes home. You know, he came out of that physical captivity to a captivity of the mind where he couldn't get back PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. He was captive in his mind, and he couldn't get past the nightmares and seeing the visions of the people over there that and just the struggle he went through. You know, it wasn't till he met Jesus, till he was forgiven personally, and he realized how much he was free, and that he could be set free from that. And it's an incredible story. And the idea here is of redemption. Like, our freedom has been purchased. Not only, we're in this, the riches of his grace, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us. This isn't just a little bit. No, like, we're in a flood of forgiveness. And we're called to forgive those around us in that same way. And actually, if we don't, you know, when we hold those grudges, if someone's offended you, don't return the offense. It's said that holding a grudge is like letting someone live rent-free in your head. Isn't that interesting? We don't have to do that. We're redeemed. It's another example or picture of this spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. We know the mystery of his will. Do you know how many people were confused with what God has been doing over generations since the beginning of the time? We know it. We know it. Gentiles are included too. We're fellow heirs. All right? God came for all people. All things are summed up in Christ. Not only that, in him we have, the NIV here says, we have been chosen again. And the footnote says, or made heirs, made fellow heirs with Christ. I like the way NASV here says, it says, we have obtained an inheritance that Peter says will never fade, will never perish. It's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. It's absolutely awesome. You know, there's very rarely do people have savings today. You know, I forget the percentage. It's very low. We have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven that is beyond our belief. And this is the final thing he says that you had. You were marked with a seal. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It's this idea of branding. You know, if you take, for farmers to understand which animals were there, they would brand them. I think of tattoos. You know, I always sort of thought it'd be cool to have a tattoo. Obviously, I haven't done that. We won't go down that road. But that idea that you're marked, you're sealed, your ownership is secure, you're entirely his. What does he say this Holy Spirit is? It's the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It's a guarantee. It's 100% secure. Isn't that amazing? See, his point is that we are incredibly blessed. Our position is up here, and so often we get lost in the experience. We get lost in our mind and in our head. Like, we get so messed up in the daily life, but our position is absolutely secure in him. Absolutely secure. I talked about last week, we mentioned a verse that helps us with panic attack, you know, as we're walking through that. I'm going to read this again. It's Isaiah 43, and he's speaking to the Jews. But it's true for us as well. He's speaking to Israel, but it's true for us today as well. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Isn't that awesome? He's purchased us back. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. That's what he says. You are mine. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. We are chosen. We're not abandoned. Now, I don't know what your mind is telling you about who you are as a person, but you are not an accident. You are not abandoned. No, you don't have to believe that. You're not enslaved to whatever it is that you struggle with. That doesn't have to hold you, to trap you. No. He's saying, remember your position. No matter what your mind is telling you, you don't have to believe those lies. You are a son or a daughter, a legitimate son or daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in John 1, he says, he came to his own, his Jews, but his own did not receive him. But to anyone who believes, to anyone who simply receives this free gift of eternal life, he says, I give you the right to be called a child of God. Not a child of natural descent, like not one that's born of a mother's womb, but born of God. And you are absolutely owned at that point by him, and you're absolutely secure no matter what this life and what the experiences of this life might throw at you. And I don't know if you're tracking with this, but could you imagine what would happen to our mental health, just to our life in general, if we could view every day through this lens? I think that's what Paul's getting at here. This is absolutely foundational to the book of Ephesians. His whole point is centered around this, our position in Christ. The next verse, verse 15, he goes on to say, for this very reason, and you as a good Bible student, you say, well, what reason? Because of your position in Christ. That's what he's saying. For this very reason, what does he do? He prays. It's the prayer we've been praying all the time. He prays. Lord, I pray that these people would know you better. The hope of your calling, the incredible riches of your inheritance. His great power for those who believe. See, this idea of our position in Christ, it leads right into the prayer that we've been praying this whole month as we're trying to think about this. Okay, this idea of the same power. Chapter 3, verse 15. He says, for this reason, you would ask, for what reason? Because of our position in Christ, he prays that we might know the surpassing power of his love. The surpassing power of his love. His power, that we would know his power in our inner man. And that Christ might dwell in our hearts, that we might know how high and how wide and how long and how deep is the love of God that surpasses knowledge. He works off of our position in Christ. He doesn't work off of our experience. That's what Paul's doing here. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. Let that sink in a little bit. You can't tell me his head and his mind wasn't playing with him as he's on house arrest. All right? Do people on house arrest tend to feel the best about themselves? No, right? But he's in prison. He's, remember, my position is secure. My life might be all in a turmoil, but my position is secure. And this is what he comes to. The end of chapter 3, he just explodes in praise. Again, he explodes in praise. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, infinitely more, so much more, way more than you could even ask or imagine. Way more than you can dream. All right? He can do it. You know, you think you're stuck where you're at, or you think you're locked into this head game, whatever's going on. No, 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 no. God can do immeasurably more. How does he do it? According to his power that is in work in us. It's according to the Holy Spirit's power. This is that resurrection power in us. It's absolutely that power. See, sometimes we got to fight our own minds, our own heads, right? Maybe we've been given that dream and our initial thought is, hey, we can't do that. Now tell yourself, that's enough. You can do it. Not in your strength, but because of his power working through you. All right, maybe God has given you something. You can do it. Maybe you're created for such a moment as this. See, each one of us, we do have greatness in us. It's not us. It's him in us. It's his spirit in us. All right, that's the point. I think that's what he's driving at here. It's this idea that what you think about yourself matters. And remember, we are children of the Most High God. We are sons and daughters of his. We are chosen. We aren't forsaken. No, we are set free. Those who are free, you're free indeed. You're adopted into his family. You know the mystery of life. You have an inheritance. You're sealed. Nothing is going to take you out of his hand as you walk forward, no matter you whatever you walk forward in life. We're going to just end. Said one more tool in the toolbox. So as you walk out today, we got one of these. And I was thinking back to my racing days. You know, what I used to tell myself, and I'm like, you know, Ephesians gives us one option. There's a lot of options. Maybe you choose something different, but what if you hung this at your mirror and every day for the next 7 days while you're brushing your teeth, you know, you're just repeating to yourself, hey, I am incredibly blessed today because I am in Christ. You know, I am chosen to be holy and blameless today. I am adopted as a son or daughter of his. I'm redeemed, fully forgiven and set free. I know the mystery. God's plan includes me. Isn't that beautiful? I have an inheritance waiting for me in heaven, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. And see if we can't exercise our minds this week a little bit and grow our mental muscle as we come into next week. Next week, we're going to look again at the shining more light on the stigma of this idea of mental health. So let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you go before us. Help us to believe. Help us to believe in our minds. Grow our brain's capacity to believe this week, God. And may we just be enamored, like Paul, with our incredibly high position in Christ. We think of moms, and just so many have given so much, Lord. May they be encouraged today. God, that you might just continue to use all their efforts and all their heart and all their passion for your honor and for your glory, Lord Jesus. So we love you, Lord. We give this day, we give our lives to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome week and a wonderful Mother's Day.